All right, preacher.
All right. It's a joy to be back here with all of you. And thank you so much, Pastor, for allowing me the opportunity to come and just share part of my life with you guys. And I see y'all got a dynamite preacher coming to preach for y'all April the 15th and 16th, Joe Arthur. How many of y'all ever heard Joe Arthur? I got one here. Y'all haven't heard him? Y'all better be here. I guarantee you, boy, I don't know what to say other than he's probably the preacher of our generation in one sense. You know, I mean, we've lost the John R. Rices. We've lost the Lee Robertsons. I believe Joe Arthur would fit right in there among them. And I'm proud of that guy. He's my pastor. See, I can't say nothing bad because preacher tell him I talk bad about him, so I'm saying everything good. No, Joe, he's a character, and when you hear him, you'll want to hear him again and again. But boy, talking about a man that preaches God's word. But Pastor, thank you so much for letting me come. I really appreciate it. I always enjoy being here. And how many of you've never seen one of our programs with the gospel illusions and all? How many of you have never seen? Oh, several of you. Okay. Well, I use object lessons to illustrate the points that I'm trying to get across. I love to find little gadgets that can tell a story. This is sort of like the Rubik's Cube. And this little Chinese man that I get some stuff from at times to be able to go and sell and I'll buy from him and sell these at different places and help raise up money for our mission. He said, "Magician, got something good for you." And he did this thing here. I said, "Yeah, that's been around for years." "Oh, no, not years. This is brand new." I said, "Well, we got one that we came up with, and I need to have it with me. It's called the Christian Cube, and it gives the plan of salvation from the beginning all the way to the end, and it has pictures and all." But he's doing this thing with this and turning these, making all different kind of colors, and then he did something to it. And I said, "Okay, you got my attention." Like that. And then my mind went to going. "In the beginning, the earth was without form and void." Hope you all can see this way back there on the cheap seats. Okay. And I noticed you can make all kind of different designs here. And I love to use things with colors. And for an example, we all blew it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the blue. And when we realize we blew it, realize Jesus shed his blood on Calvary. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we might one day walk on the golden street to be with royalty. Jesus Christ, what a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Well, God created this world. The world was without form and void. And he saw that everything was good that he had made. And there he made man. And there, as he made man, he saw that was great. There, man had anything he could want in the garden except one tree that was in the midst of the garden. God said, "Don't take of it. The day you take of it is the day you'll die." We know that story in Genesis chapter 3 where Adam sinned. And he ran and hid from God. That day he sinned, he was separated from God that day. What about you today? Are you separated from God? Have you trusted Jesus Christ? Or are you trying to hide from him? Now, did God know where Adam and Eve was? He sure did. He could have said, "Adam, you crazy thing, get out from behind that tree." But he didn't do it. He asked a simple question, "Adam, where art thou?" And you know, this morning, maybe God's asking you, where are you? Where are you in relation to Jesus Christ. Have you asked him to come into your heart? I sure hope you have. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Yes, one day we'll be gone. Amen. And the Bible says we'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Oh, what a day that's going to be. And then I've got my little buddy Randy. I want to get him out for just a few minutes. Hey, Nan. Hey, Randy.
Hey, are we at Brother Gibson's church?
Yeah, we're up here. Oh, I like their church.
Oh, Nan. Oh, yeah. Oh, there he is.
Yeah, there he is.
He ain't changed a bit. Still got the same haircut.
We're not going to talk about his hair.
There ain't no hair to talk about.
All right.
Yeah. Old pastor, I've learned a lot since I left here last. You know what I learned?
What'd you learn?
Women are archaeologists.
Women are archaeologists?
Yeah, they love to dig up the past.
Okay, Randy.
Yeah, and you know, women speak 30,000 words a day and men speak only 15,000 words a day.
Women speak 30,000 and men speak 15,000. Why do men speak less words? Or may I ask, why do women speak more words than men?
They have to tell their husbands twice what to do.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know if some of them was back here in 2013 when I was here.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and I shared this in 2013. I don't know if they were in Ender.
Oh, well, if they weren't here, they sure don't remember.
Oh, yeah. See, the pastor used to have three girlfriends at the same time.
The pastor used to have three girlfriends at the same time.
Yeah, one is named Susan, one named Kathy, another named Lassie.
Lassie's a dog.
You think that's a dog? You should have seen the other two, man. That's ugly.
All right.
Yeah. And this morning, I heard somebody said that the pastor's got a new nickname.
The pastor's got a new nickname.
Yeah, they call him Pharaoh.
Pharaoh?
Yeah, he won't let his title go.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, you know why God created man first?
Why did God create man first?
So he wouldn't be told how to do it?
No, that's not why.
Yeah, and you know there's not going to be any women in heaven.
Wait a minute. Where do you get there's not going to be any women in heaven?
Revelation 8:1.
And what does Revelation 8:1 say?
There'd be silence for half an hour.
Randy... You're not making any brownie points with these women.
Hey, you know why Moses wandered in the wilderness 40 years?
Why did Moses wander in the wilderness 40 years?
He's like no snin. He wouldn't stop and ask our directions.
Yeah. Well, that really might be true.
And I heard the pastor say something about you this morning.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. He was talking to a fella in the back.
Uh-huh.
He said, now, Tricky Ricky, he's a hypnotist.
The pastor told him I was a hypnotist. I think you misunderstood. A hypnotist puts people to sleep.
Yeah, pastor, you got it right. Now, come on.
Now, wait a minute.
Yeah. Hey, and there's Aaron back there. You named Aaron?
Yeah. Yeah,
she always loved me.
She always loved you.
Yeah, I'd come out and she'd get in there, she'd run and hide.
I don't think she'd do that. She was scared of you.
No, she wasn't. Matter of fact, one day after vacation Bible school, I kissed her.
You kissed Aaron?
Yeah, and the pastor caught me.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's what I said, uh-oh.
Yeah,
and he said, son, I'll teach you to kiss girls around here.
Oh, no, what'd you do?
I told him he was too late. I already knew how to kiss girls around here. Now, come on now, Randy. Yeah, Aaron loves me.
No, I think she's scared of you there. Hey, and I learned something about love. You know something about love.
It's a three-ring circus.
Love's a three-ring circus?
Yeah, you got the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and suffer ring.
Randy.
Yeah, oh man. And I heard somebody talking about the pastor too. Said our pastor is a model preacher.
He's a model preacher.
Yeah, and I looked up the word model in the dictionary and it said a small imitation of the real thing. Now come on, Randy. And he preached a warm message last week.
He preached a warm message. I guess you looked up the word warm.
Yeah, it said not so hot.
Now, come on now. Well, listen, I want to get it right on into the message there and everything. And why don't you tell them you'll see them later, okay? All right?
Okay. Hey, can I tell a story I told in 2013?
Well, if it's not long, how long is it?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay. All right. And you told this story in 2013?
Yeah. It's about David and Goliath. And I want to be David.
Okay. We'll do David and Goliath and you can be David.
Can I do sound effects?
Sound effects if you don't overdo it. Way out on the hillside was a young man named David.
That's me. That's you.
And one day he was taking care of a herd of sheep. What are you doing?
Sound effects? No.
And there David's dad called out to him, David, what'd you do that for?
Sound effects? No.
So there David came running in. What are you doing?
Running in.
As he came in, he said, yes, Dad.
Yes, Dad.
He said, son, I want you to pack your lunch.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Well, maybe. Go out and see who's winning the war between the Israelites and the Philistines. For this time, David had some brothers fighting for Israel. So there, David took off. What are you doing?
Taking off.
As he got to the battlefield, he saw something shocking.
Who, the pastor?
No. He saw this big old giant, and the giant said, Thee, thon, tho, thai, that's not a Luddin Israelite. No, he didn't say that.
He said, ho, 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 on the jolly green Philistine.
No, he didn't do that either. He said, give me a brave warrior,
yeah,
that'll come out fight me,
yeah,
and if you kill me,
yeah,
what are you doing?
Yeah,
don't do that. He said, if you kill me,
he already said that.
He said, if you kill me,
it sounds like a drunken CD.
Come on now. He said, if you kill me, the Philistines will serve the Israelites. But if I kill your brave warrior, the Israelites must serve us Philistines.
What'd they do?
They were still scared. Chickens, yeah, they were, but David wasn't. So there David goes into King Saul's tent.
Yeah, I went into King Saul's tent and I said, what'd I say?
David went in. He said, Dear King,
there's a giant out there. There's a giant out there.
And somebody needs to fight that giant.
And somebody needs to fight that giant.
And so I'll fight the giant.
And said, I do what?
You're going to fight the giant.
I ain't fight no giant.
David fights a giant.
Look, he's big.
I know he's big.
He's strong.
I know he's strong.
You smell him too, huh?
Come on now. So there, David went down by a creek
to go fishing.
No, not to go fishing. He went down there to get some stones.
We're going to throw rocks at that guy?
Come on now. David was an expert with a sling and a stone. The giant began to curse David. Yeah. David looked up and said, I'll cut your head off, sucker.
No, he did not.
He said, the battle is the Lord. And there he placed a stone in the sling. He began to twirl it around and around and around and around and around.
I'm getting sick.
He let the stone go. It hit him right in the forehead.
Crash.
What are you doing?
Sound effects?
No. There the giant laid. Was he dead?
No, he's just stoned.
Now, come on.
You know what the giant said when he was down?
What did the giant say when he was down?
I've fallen and I can't get up.
No, he did not. So there David ran up to the giant.
Yeah, I ran up to the giant.
He got the giant sword.
I got the giant sword.
He raised it above his head.
I raised it on the head.
And he came right down.
And I came right down.
And he chopped that giant's head right off.
Ooh, yuck. Ooh, yuck.
Philistines went running for their lives and they were screaming, ooh, yuck. No, they weren't. They took the head of Goliath into King Saul. He looked down to David and he said, ooh, yuck. He did not. tell these folks how they can get rid of the giants of temptation in their life. Throw rocks at it. No, you don't throw rocks at it. You give it to Jesus. Tell him you'll see him later.
Okay, I guess I gotta go. I don't like this suitcase. This is child abuse. It stinks in here. You'll be okay. Pastor, help me. You think the pastor's going to help you after what you did? We will see you later. Yellow, wait. You'll be okay. No.
Yeah, I will see you after church.
Yellow, wait a minute.
I'll get you out in just a little bit. There's my little buddy, Randy, right there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we love you. We just thank you so much for the message you laid upon our hearts this morning. And Father, we pray it'll be a blessing and an encouragement, especially in the days that we live today, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In your name, amen. Here's a book in the Bible named The Song of Solomon. It's a great love song, and love was what sent Jesus to the cross. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You think about God's love, makes me think of these rings here. And, one, two, three, four, five. Yeah, got five rings there. You go out and you tell people about God's love, and they'll laugh at you at times. They'll put you down. Sometimes they'll even say, hey, you're nothing but a square. That's all you are. But you know what? I'd rather be a square for Jesus than a square for the old devil, because you can have victory in Jesus today. Amen. And the circle also reminds me here, if I can find the one that I want to use. I think I'll see which one I want to use. This one here. Yeah. Reminds me of the triangle. God's here, your neighbor's here. The closer your neighbor gets to God, the closer you get to God, the closer we get to each other. Boy, we need to get close to each other nowadays. Pray for one another. And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three in one. God's love. The circle has no end, and truly God's love has no end. Boy, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Wow, what a Hall of Fame verse I believe that is today. As I began to study God's word many years ago, and still today learning, studying, one of the hardest books for me to grasp hold to was the Song of Solomon. Now, I knew it was a love song, but how in the world? And some preachers say, you're not going to preach from Song of Solomon with kids in here. Matter of fact, I'm going to present the whole book of Song of Solomon in 17 minutes. You can put a stopwatch on me. Now you're going to say, wait a minute, how are you going to do that? Of course, I'm leaving a few things out, okay? And I'm doing an overall picture. We're going to create a garden here. And you'll see what I'm talking about, but you got to be watching. If you're blinking, you're going to miss what's going to happen. More I begin to study, and I challenge everybody today, tonight, after church, take the book of Song of Solomon and read it and see if you see the story that I'm about to share with you right now. There's two types of people in the book of Song of Solomon. There was the Shulamites and there was a shepherd. Now, there was a wedding taking place, and back then when they had weddings, there would be a choir, and the choir would join in and sing, "Who is she?" to the groom, and he would begin to tell all about the first time that he met her. And then they would join in and sing, "Who is she?" or "Who is he?" And she would begin to tell about how she had met him. So we see a wedding taking place, and we see this Shulamite. And in chapter 6, verse 13, it says, "Return, return, O Shulamite, return that we may look upon thee. What will ye see in the Shulamites, as it were, a company of two armies?" Now, instead of this Shulamite daughter being over the garden, now she's a caretaker in the garden. Her stepbrothers are angry with her, and she's like a common laborer in the field. She's out there. The veil's been taken from her face. And that's something too. Back then, ladies wore veils over their face. And if they were seen downtown without that veil over their face, people knew, she was caught in something bad. She had done a bad sin. Now, what sin it was that caused her to lose her veil, we have no account of. But every one of us could be that Shulamite daughter today, folks. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now the sun is black in her face, and she's ashamed for anybody to look upon her. It says in chapter 1, verse 6, "Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun has looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyard, but my own vineyard have I not kept." So I want us to imagine there she is in the garden. She's taking care of the flowers and the fruit trees and all. And it's about, let's say it's about 97 degrees. Won't y'all be glad when it's about that hot? Amen. I mean, all this, last night, that wind, unreal. But there, she sits down under an apple tree. We'll say it's about noontime. It's time for her to take a break. And so she's sitting down there under the apple tree. And it says in chapter 2, verse 3, "As the apple trees among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste." Now, as she's sitting there taking a break, we look out from the garden and we see these grassy hills, and we notice a shepherd coming over those hills. And we notice this is a different type of a shepherd. His clothes even tell us that. But he comes over those hills with his staff in his hands. There, as he comes, he looks through the lattice. Now, lattice was crisscross pieces of wood here. And there it says, the voice in chapter 2, verse 4, verse 8, "The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountain, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe, a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our walls. He looketh forth at the window, showing himself through the lattice." Now, as he comes there, and he notices there's something inside that garden. Okay, kids, I'm going to find out if y'all were paying attention. Who did that shepherd boy see? Can some of you tell me? He's looking in that garden. Who did he see? Just holler it out. The Shulamite. That's right. He saw that Shulamite girl. Now, you guys, y'all know that first time you seen your girlfriend before she became your wife, you know? Let me move some of this stuff falling around here. You seen that girl, and you looked at her, and you went, Wow. Now, you ladies know what y'all thought about that guy when you seen him. Y'all looked at him and went, Look at that tobacco juice running down his lips, man. That's cool. Oh, gross. But you guys, I hope you guys did this for your sweethearts. Got her some candy or flowers or something back here in February. A lot of times I'll do this program at a sweetheart banquet, but I prayed about it this morning. There was two messages on my heart, and this was one that I really felt that the Lord wanted me to share this morning. But there's that a shepherd boy looks in. He wants to be noticed. He wants her to know that he cares about her. So he comes and he introduces himself. He said, "Oh, hey, I want you to have this." "Oh, for me?" "Yes, for you." "Wow, nobody's ever given me anything like that." "Wow, yes, I want you to have this." And she said, "Oh, thank you so much." And she begins to talk to him, and she begins to tell him how that she's taking care of the garden, how that she plants the flowers and all. And she said, "I watered them day and day," and said, "You know," said, "it's exciting to watch them grow." And she began to talk a little bit more. Then he began to talk to him, to her, and begin to tell him about her sheep. Now see, she says, "Where is your sheep?" He says, "I left them in good hands to seek for greener pastures." And there they talked all through the night. Now, they had a love that night, but it's not like this lustful love that we know. It was as pure as when the dove came down and sat upon Jesus' head and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Oh, I don't know. It had a bright moon. Maybe they had a fire. I don't know. Maybe they had a candle. Maybe they walked around with a candle. See if I can get this candle lit here. There we go. Maybe that's how they saw. But they talked all through the night. And then it came the next morning in chapter 5, verse 2. "I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with the dew and the locks with the drops of the night." The dew was on his hair. And he looks at her and says, "I must go. You said you love me." "Yes, and I want you to be my bride." You want me to be, I'm going to be your bride?" "Yeah, I want you to be my bride." "Well, then why are you leaving?" See, folks, a good shepherd will go and stand in the doorway of his sheep, for anything that comes in or goes out must come through the shepherd. But he says, "I give you a token of my love. Yes, I want to give you this." "Oh, okay. And I promise you I'm coming back for you. You better get ready. You better get prepared. Get the garden ready. I'm coming back for you." Okay. I'll get everything ready. You really love me. You're going to marry me?" "Yes, you're going to be my bride." She watches him as he goes over those grassy hills. And she calls out, "Hey, you are coming back, right?" And he says, "I'm coming back." As he goes over those grassy hills, she says, "Oh, my shepherd loves me. Boy, he loves me. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. Boy, he loves me. My shepherd loves me. He's coming back for me. Boy, yes, I got to get everything ready. Boy, he loves me. I never had anybody love me like that. Oh, me, oh my, this doesn't look good. Boy, get all this. Oh, man. Wow, my shepherd. Yes. Wait a minute, is he coming now? Is he coming? No, that's not him. Boy, I've got to hurry. My shepherd's coming back for me. Oh, I can't wait. He's coming back. Oh, I'm going to be the bride. I've got to get everything ready for him. Yes, he loves me, and I love him. Oh, I can't wait. He is coming back for me. Oh, get the garden ready, because he's coming back. Yes. Oh, and I've got to get everything all set up. Oh, he's coming. But where is he? The day goes by. She says, "I got to get him ready. Got to get, surely, he didn't tell a story. No, he didn't tell a story. He's coming back for me." "Yes, he is. Oh, I've just got to get everything ready there. Yes, I got to get everything ready for him. He's coming." There, we see the scene closing. She's getting a little discouraged. "Where is he at? He told me he was coming. I know what I'll do. I'll go to the city. Maybe somebody's seen him." And she'd knock on the door, say, hey, have you seen him? Have you seen my shepherd? Oh, he's altogether lovely." And they'd slam the door in her face, say, "You're starstruck with love. Well, there's not a shepherd that glorious. Oh, if you only knew him like I know him, to love him like I love him, he's altogether lovely." It says in chapter 3, verse 1, "By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will arise now and go about the city and the streets and the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchman that goes about the city found me, to whom I said, Saw ye him whom my soul loveth?" Have you seen him? So we see in this story, there she's seeking. The next day she's getting the garden all ready. And she hears and horses coming, and she looks out and notice these are men from Solomon's court being expert in war. They had swords on their side. And there they came, and that day they had the most beautiful Cadillac of that day, the prize horses of Egypt carrying a beautiful carriage. And they came to the garden. "Yes, sir, how can I help you?" "The king wants to see you." "Oh, but what does the king want with me?" "He wants to make you his bride." "Oh, you don't understand, sir. I'm not in love with the king. I'm in love with the shepherd boy, and I'm getting everything ready. He's coming back." "It's required, ma'am, for you to come." Now, that's something, ladies, no lady probably turned down to be married to the most wisest man that's ever lived, the most richest fellow that's ever lived. But she said, "I didn't fall in love with gold and silver. I fell in love with a shepherd boy." It said, "Can I leave a note? See, I'm getting everything ready. He's coming again." Said, "It's required for you to come." I can imagine as they got to the king's house, as they looked down, and they said, "Oh, she's beautiful." And a hall that with dresses that just lined the hallway, but that day she'd be married in white without spot or wrinkle. And I can imagine as she went to the window and looked out and noticed this is a different type of a wedding. There were men like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at this wedding. And she says, "I wonder, when's this going to happen? I wished I could see my shepherd boy." And she goes down and she looks in and sees a banquet table that could feed the whole nation of Israel. And she goes and she looks up at the balcony where the king had been going back and forth and saying, "I'm ready to go. I'm 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 ready to go." She says, "I wonder when this is going to take place." And all of a sudden the herald picked up the trumpet and blew with a loud blast. And there the king came. "The king, wait a minute, he's my shepherd boy." And he came down the staircase, she went up the staircase, and in chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "He brought me to the back." Wait, let's see, chapter 2, verse 4. "He brought me to the banquet house, and his banner over me was love." Now that's the whole book of Song of Solomon in 18 minutes. But I want you to think. I challenge you to read the book of Song of Solomon and see if you don't see that story that I just shared with you. Who's the Shulamites? We are. Who's the shepherd? Jesus. Hey, wait a minute. Can y'all hear it? Listen. Listen. "I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go." Could that be what Jesus is saying right now? The question is, are you ready to go? Are you ready to meet Jesus? Folks, the days that we live in now, I think it's right there. He's saying, "I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go rapture my children up." If Jesus Christ were to come today, are you ready to meet him? If not, why not get ready? And you never know, the day nor the hour that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. You never know when your time might be up. I just left a 15-year-old girl here, well, it's been 2 months ago, and I was doing a little puppet for her. I knew that she was dying, and they said I had a little rabbit in the hat, and they said, "Bring the rabbit in the hat. She's 15 years old." And we did some things with the rabbit in the hat. And as I began to share with her about Jesus, and I asked her, I said, "Do you know Jesus?" She says, "I sure do." And what was so exciting about this, she says, "Yeah, there used to be a bus that came by and picked me up. I was saved through the bus ministry too." And she said, "I got saved at 10 years old." She said, "But Tricky, why me? I'm just 15 years old. Why do I have to die right now? God's got better plans for you." And I said, you know, I don't have all the answers. I don't know. And I said, you know something, sweetheart? You will never have to suffer again. She says, I know I'm dying, and it's just a matter of days, and I'll be gone. And she says, I know that. And she says, I'm ready. And I'm thinking, boy, this 15-year-old girl talking to me like this, you know? And I'm thinking, wow, boy, and the assurance that she had there. And I said, you know, one day I'll get to see you. And she looked at me and said, bring the rabbit to heaven. I love that rabbit. I said, all right, if Jesus will let me bring Twinkie, I'll bring him. And she said, that was the funniest thing. I said, well, we got to go. We got church service tonight. We got back down to the church. And an hour later, phone rang at the church. Mother was crying. Said, hug the magician for me. Said, my daughter. Said, Mama, wasn't that funny? That rabbit? Can you believe I kissed a puppet? Said, "That I wanted to kiss that rabbit. It looked so real." And said, that's the most I've ever seen my daughter laugh. And said, Mama, that was funny. I hope Jesus will let him bring it to heaven. You know, like that. Said, she just died. Wow, kids, 15 years old. But that young girl knew where she's going. Do you teenagers know where you're going? What about it, adults? Don't keep putting it off and off. We never know. It might be an accident on the side of the road. Boy, God's really looked after me through the years. I mean, I've been stabbed once, robbed three times. I was in an airplane, got hit by lightning. I've been in 10 tornadoes. One picked me up, set me on the side of the road. Anybody want to travel with me? But, you know, and last night I said, where's the tornado? The way I was getting blowed all over the road. And the Bible said, pray without ceasing. I prayed from St. Louis all the way here, Lord. I don't want to get blowed off. And then I seen an 18-wheeler go and hit the guardrail over there off of 70. And, I mean, that wind just blew him right over on it. I went, oh, man, right in front of me there. And police everywhere waving people down as I was going where cars was being blowed off the highway. And I said, Jesus, I hope nobody's dead. I hope nobody got hurt. Be with everything that's happening. And if so, Lord, I hope they're ready to meet you. So what about it this morning? Are you ready to meet Jesus? I hope so. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Lord, we love you. We thank you. So many years ago, you gave me this message and you've let me share it in a different type form. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that these folks have seen the second coming of you to this morning. And boy, Lord, I just know it's about that time, that hour. And I pray that if there's one that's not saved, this morning they'll come down, take the pastor by the hand, take somebody by the hand, say, hey, I want to make sure, I want to get things right. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. Lord, we give you the praise, honor, and glory for everything. In your name we pray. Amen.